because the wisdom is already in there. It's her job to help pull it out of you.
All right, it's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it.
Tonight, we are with Michelle Stieg.
Hi. Yeah.
And Jess and I were talking before the podcast. We both knew her in previous lives.
Yeah. Right. Somehow.
first guest that we like aren't associated in a circle of some sort with. So yeah. I'm super pumped about the podcast tonight, just kind of getting to know who you are and more about you. So thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I told you it's weird to be on the other side.
Yeah.
So
to have to answer the questions.
Yeah, I'm normally asking the questions. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'll give you the honors.
Oh, yeah. So, Michelle, we ask everyone that joins us on the podcast, who the hell do you think you are?
Somebody special, apparently.
Pretty big deal to
I'm
be on this show.
A big fucking deal, guys. Here we are. Say it again. Who
do you think you are?
Who do I think I am?
Who are you?
God, that's a ridiculous question.
Great question.
It is a great question. Who do I think I am? I am somebody who is trying to make a bit of a name for myself in my field. And to me, that means normalizing therapy. That's who I am right now.
Okay.
Who I think I am, who I'm trying to be. I'm also a mother and a wife. But in terms of, kind of my mission and my purpose these days, really trying, like I said, to normalize therapy and to give it a voice and show people the other side to therapy and what the experience can actually be like.
What do you do in regards to the therapy world? What's your role?
The therapist.
Do you specialize in certain types of therapy? Do you have like...
Sure.
Is there like
a niche group? Yeah. So I work with teenagers and adults. The little bitty kids, they freak me out.
Okay. Me too.
Right. So typically it's when you work with like the littles, it's really the parents that typically need to be in there. So
sure.
My preference is definitely working with teenagers and adults. I cover, your general things that people come in for: depression, anxiety, anxiety disorders, OCD, things like that. My background is in chemical dependency. But it's not my focus anymore. I think I have a pretty different approach to therapy than most in my field.
Okay.
It's very non-traditional. How I am with you and sure. how we were like pre-show, mm-hmm. That's how I am in therapy. So I don't know. I love it. I have the coolest job in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that your mission? Why is that important to you? It seems like you at some point you had a shift to where this was your focus and this was your purpose.
Yeah. So
what makes this mission or this purpose important to you enough to where you not just want to do it and make a living, but make a difference?
Because it's amazing. Like when you find the right person, it's magic. And I had been practicing part-time for about 10 years. I was working in education for six in between. I was doing that full-time. And, education at the time, it was right for me. It was where I was supposed to be. And I was just always too afraid to pull the trigger and do it full-time. And, making that decision and making that leap, everything was aligned. Everything was right. I was working at the time with all boys in an all boys high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I love working with young men. And I just got to the point where I felt like I could make more of a difference in my office. A lot of the work, I felt like I would had taught, you know, 600 boys every day for 3 years that it's okay to like to talk about life, and it's okay to share things about yourself. And I was able to show them a different side and what it could look like. And so it was time for me to make the move so I could actually have the impact that I wanted. And being able to make the impact that I want to do means not answering to anybody.
Sure.
It means not having a boss and not having somebody riddle me with questions on why I want to do something regarding mental health.
Okay.
So in order to make the impact that I wanted to make, I needed to never have to answer to somebody again.
I like that's
really that. Cool. Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Really it's deep and fun. Really think an animal just flew into my purse.
It's probably a bug. You'll be okay.
Okay. I'm okay. It's just shaking. So okay. It's great. Yes, it is.
So you mentioned that you do things a little bit differently than probably most in your field.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the right way to articulate the question, but like when you go into this field, you have a purpose, you have a mm-hmm. reason, you have a mission. What convinced you? Was it results-based, or what kind of implored you to do things the way that you felt necessary as opposed to the way that probably mm-hmm. your schooling had discussed or
sure.
Certifications or yeah. I don't know exactly the prerequisites in order to
right,
get
right.
into therapy, but like I assume that they at least put up some guardrails and say, kind of stay within this and you can take some leisure, but if you're taking some liberties and doing things mm-hmm. a different way, what is the purpose behind that? And is yeah. it results-based, or is it just like a gut thing? Or
it's all instincts. Everything I do is based off my instincts. So there were guidelines and rails around you, and you know, everything that I was being taught, not everything, that's a bit dramatic, but the majority of everything I was being taught, there was a part of me that would speak up and be like, no, that's not right. That's not right. And I didn't understand like what that was. Mm-hmm. There was always a part of me. Well, there's always a part of me anyway that like wants to go against the grain. Like I love boundaries. I love rules, but I only love them because I want to know how far I can push them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
probably a dream at home.
Right. Oh yeah. I'm a real treat to live with. Yeah. My mom and dad, my husband, God bless him. So it was, yeah, there were all these like rules and things we were being taught, and instinctually, like it was not for me. And it was not like I knew I would get in with and work with, when you work with humans and actual people, like the guidelines don't fit when you're working with human beings.
Sure.
And when you're working, especially like with teenagers who are so raw, and yeah. it's beautiful. And instead of like following a script, like following your instincts and letting your instincts take the lead and not being afraid to be yourself. I think this field and what school has a tendency to do is to make you afraid to make the wrong move and to make a misstep, because we don't want to hurt anybody, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, people come really vulnerable. But I have spent, I feel like, my entire career really going against the grain and going against things that I was taught in order to be authentic. Mm-hmm. Because that's what makes the shift in people. So you'll hear me say all the time, like, the relationship is the most important part of therapy, period, end of story. If you and your therapist do not click, it is a waste of your time and it is a waste of your money. I have a rule or a policy at my office. So if you come to me for your first session, let's say we totally hit it off and we both know that it's a good fit. I will not let anybody rebook with me on the spot. I want you to go home and I want you to check in with your instincts. Hmm. If it felt right, hit me up. I'll get you right in. If you thought I was a creep or you thought this felt weird, do not come back.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But you would be surprised at like how many people don't know how to say, you know what, I think I just want to take a few days and think about this. Mm-hmm. Most of us have not been taught how to, and I know that sounds kind of crazy sometimes, but that's the reality. Most of us haven't been taught how to have good boundaries and say like, you know what, I think I want to feel this out and just make sure that this is the right fit.
Sure.
And people will often rebook when it's not a right fit, and then they end up in therapy with somebody that doesn't get them.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything I do is based off my instincts. Everything I do has to be authentic. And if that means looking at a kid who comes in, I had a, when I was working in the schools, and I do a lot of speaking gigs, and I tell this story a lot to parents about, I had a kid come in and he had just blown out his knee. He was a football player and he's standing outside my office and we're talking about his knee. The next day comes up and he rolls into my office and he's like, you know, so she dumped me. She was cheating on me. And I looked at him. He's got a blown out knee. He's lost his entire season. And his girlfriend dumped him. And he just looked at him. And I was like, dude, your life fucking sucks. Like, sit down, man. Like, that's terrible. Let's, you know what I mean? Like, out. You know, traditional, you know, therapy is, it can be really, really dry. And like, that was an authentic moment between me and an 18-year-old dude. Like, his life sucks right then.
Right.
Yeah.
And the kid needed somebody to look at him and like witness, you know,
well, he's thinking it.
Right. He's thinking it. So the last thing he needs is like some old lady looking at him going, oh, that's
how does that make you feel?
How does that make you feel? I know exactly how he feels. That sucks, man. You know what I mean? So, and when you can show up and be like authentically yourself with your clients and the people that you work with and just meet people where they are, which is some pretty tough places sometimes, like the walls just break down and we become human. There's a lot of approaches to therapy, I think, that are very, they're very stagnant, and it's a very dry relationship. You know, and I think when you have that really stringent, like, therapist-patient role, it creates an immediate power differential that I'm really uncomfortable with. Because I think people will automatically, sometimes, you know, they'll see a therapist and think, like, they've got the knowledge up here. They're the expert and I'm coming to them to get help with my life. And I think that that's crazy, because if you're the expert on your life, I'm the facilitator to help you and to listen to you in ways that nobody else in your life can, and to pull more out of you than you ever knew was inside of you. And the only reason I can do that is because I'm not your family. I'm not your sister. I'm not your, you know, I'm not your wife. So that's why it works. And so I think what I found is that when I am able to be authentically myself with my clients and I lead with my instincts, my intuition, and my heart, because I love the people I work with, it provides, you know, with a lot of, you know, there's some different models and things that I use and like clinical approach stuff that really wouldn't matter if you're not really in the business. But coupling that with just showing up as my authentic self, like, I think that's why my clients really are pretty damn successful in achieving the things that they want. You got to be real.
Yeah.
Do you have like a certain type of personality you get along with really well, or your clients super diverse and they're all
kind of all over the board? Yeah, like, we're all freaks. It's okay. It's good. Yeah. I would say that I have a pretty wide range of people that I work with. I would say I do have some favorites to work with.
You're not going to hear this from any therapist.
No,
ever.
I do. Right.
Although I feel like I'm my therapist's favorite.
You do?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. I can just see that right now. Yeah, gotcha. I love working with boys and men. Mm-hmm. Our personalities really click. I work with equal amounts of men and women. Adolescent girls, their parents are far more apt to call me and say, hey, my daughter, I think she could really use a place, you know, that's just hers, that she can really have somebody to talk to. The teenage boys typically come in crisis. Their parents call me and, you know, something's hit the fans, and they come in a crisis moment. I would say, you know, my favorites, I like the boys and the men. My favorites are men who think therapy is bullshit. It's my favorite. I love it. It's so much fun because...
Do you tell them that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love it because I agree. I think therapy is bullshit a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Because I'm particularly challenging, you should know, about people in my field. I hold them to a pretty ridiculously high standard. I worry a lot that people in my field have not done their own work. Mm. And I mean, it's no surprise that we're all therapists. We are all really wonderful codependents. Right. You know what I mean? Like it's not a surprise that we are therapists, but there's a way to heal that. And if you haven't done your own therapy and haven't healed some of your codependent parts of you, you really live for the crisis and you love being needed. I mean, that's a good feeling for a codependent. And that has no place in my field.
I can see that. I never really thought about it like that.
Yeah. I'm shaming people publicly right now. It's good.
I can see it.
But it is. It's true. And so, you know, master's programs don't always require the kids in their program to go to therapy, and it should be a requirement. And so I agree with especially those men who come in and they think this is bullshit. Like, what could you possibly tell me that I haven't already thought of, or that I can't ask my buddy over here? Well, first off, you guys don't talk to each other about that stuff. So
right.
Check one, you know.
Right.
But two, it's not about that. That's, I think, the biggest misconception in therapy is that, like, I have some grand advice I'm going to give you.
Right.
I'm just as screwed up as you. Like, we all have our stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Time, yeah.
And so therapy really has nothing to do with me giving you advice. Again, that creates a power differential. Like, I know your life better than you, so let me give you some advice. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, though, that you can't really explain. You just have to experience what it's like to have somebody who's not your family or your friend hear you in a way that no one else can. I don't actually need to give you advice if you, as a human, feel heard.
Sure.
There's a lot of self-discovery.
Yes.
I mean, for me, like, I've been with my therapist for probably close to 6 years.
Nice.
And I love her. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And the thing that I have always liked the most about her is I've never felt anything other than a, like, collaborative effort for me,
yeah,
to just figure something out.
Yep.
We've been through many walks and battles together,
right,
from loss to job shifts to,
right,
familial challenge, like everything,
yeah,
you know. And so the thing that I've always liked is, not liked because maybe it's a bit masochistic, but, like, there's been times where I've been a mess, like, just broken down,
yeah,
in her office. And if I look up, I don't want to see someone with their legs crossed writing in a notebook,
right,
in that moment. I,
right,
want to see somebody that's in it with,
yep,
me and be like, let's figure it, like, let's go. Let's.
Yep.
And she's, at least for me, been a great resource of someone that is feeling with me and,
yes,
working through something with me, as opposed to telling me what I'm doing wrong or telling,
right,
me what I'm doing right or telling,
right,
me, like, you need to do the, mm-hmm, say, like, the five Hail Marys. And,
right,
like, she gives me tools. Certainly,
yeah,
I think,
absolutely,
there's tools that I think are helpful, but I've never felt like I was going to see somebody that was going to give me infinite wisdom.
Right.
I was going to see somebody that I needed an outlet. I needed a...
Right. Because the wisdom is already in there. It's her job to help pull it out of you. And the reason that she can pull it out of you, and, for example, your wife can't, is because your therapist, she doesn't have a dog in this fight. So any, like, if you were to bring things up to, say, like, your wife or your brother or a family member, they are emotionally invested.
Mm-hmm.
They know the backstory. So if I'm coming in and I'm talking about, you know, I'm mad at my mom or I'm mad at my brother or something, and I say that to my mother, well, she has all these emotional, well, she's got to worry about my dad now, and she's got to make sure that I don't get too upset because that's hurtful for her, actually. So,
mm-hmm,
like, when you have somebody, like I said, who doesn't have a dog in the fight and they only know you, and they're there for the best interest of you and your family, having that, like, emotional separation is what you can't describe to people. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? Because,
yeah,
you don't have to take care of your therapist and worry that you're going to say something,
mm-hmm,
that's going to, you know, set some shit off at home later.
Right.
Or it's just,
sure,
it's this really wonderful, like, confined space where you can really sort some things out and it not be hurtful to the people that you love.
Yeah.
Sure.
And for me, it's also helpful to have somebody that kind of calls you on your bullshit too.
Absolutely.
Like, it's hard to, you can't lie to yourself.
Right.
You know, you can try, but you can't do it very long.
It'll show its ass eventually.
And so when you have somebody that just knows you and has known you for X amount of years and knows a very raw version of you.
Right.
When you start to hide or when you start to put up a mask or a wall, like, it's nice to have somebody be like, that's not.
Nice try.
That's not really what's going on here.
Well,
what
right. else you got? Exactly. And the other thing that's really cool about it, again, that you can't really explain, you have to experience it, is that I had a wonderful professor in my graduate program, and he's a good friend now, which is pretty exciting. But he used to always, there's like little snippets that I remember from his class
sure.
that he would teach us. And he would say, always ask if you could make an observation. And you always ask for permission because nobody's ever going to tell you no.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So, which is one. And it's brilliant because nobody does say no. Mm-hmm. But when you give the observation or when you call someone on their bullshit in the middle of therapy, it's the one place in your life where someone can give you feedback or just make a simple observation where you don't experience it as criticism. Because I don't have the emotional baggage of our relationship mm-hmm. that makes my observation loaded.
Sure. There's no attack there.
Yeah. It's not an attack. It's just an observation because I don't have any emotional baggage behind my statement.
Yeah.
So it's the one place in life often where you can get immediate feedback, because if it's going on in therapy, it's going on outside here, where you can get feedback in the moment that's not critical. It's there to be helpful.
I like that.
I'm sure she likes it too.
Yeah.
She's like, hold on.
All right,
I'm going to call you on this
I'm trying to process.
Right.
Okay, so that's who the hell you are.
Yeah.
Damn.
Good answer.
So the next question, and you alluded to it a little bit, but mm-hmm. tell us who's in your world and who supports yeah. your world.
So my world is quite small, to be honest, but I like it that mm-hmm. way, I feel like. My world consists of my husband, who I could not do my career without. The reality is I'm not home a lot. So he's at home with our son, Leo. So I have a son. He's delicious and ornery and so wild and so huge. He's 6 and comes up to my shoulders.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a beast. I'm going to have to stand on a chair to whoop his ass pretty soon. It'd be great. And but he's just wonderful. He's so funny and lives for tricky tricks. So yeah, that's currently his.
For example,
right now his favorite thing is to get a large cup of ice water and dump it on me when I'm in the shower because it's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
I don't hate it. Yeah, like he's not wrong. So I actually have a really funny video. Like 2 weeks ago, my husband and I got him back when he was in the shower and we filled like this big old bucket. It was great. He deserved it. He earned it. So I have my son who's just my world, and then my husband. He's great. He's in law enforcement and he takes care of a lot for me, so I'm able to live my dream.
That's
because
awesome.
I work a lot of evenings, and so he's the one at home doing homework.
Yeah.
Dinner, homework, baths.
Bedtime.
Yeah. A lot of the time I come home and everybody's asleep. So that's my world, and that's my immediate world. And then, of course, my parents are incredible. I've been really blessed. I've got some pretty fantastic in-laws too. They're really
that's awesome.
Yeah, that I'm lucky.
Yeah,
right.
It's not always like that, and I've seen it. So I'm definitely really lucky. I have my wonderful love of my life, best friend Beth Bradford.
Oh,
she's
that's sweet.
She's everything to me. So yeah. And then I have my really great extended group of friends and, a few colleagues that I meet with. But a big challenge for me this year going full time has been expanding my professional network because mm-hmm. I'm just so critical of our field. And so, like, if you're in, you're in.
Right.
You know,
do they
I mean?
Want to meet with you?
Probably not. I mean, pretty hard to deal with.
So. I just mean, given the way you've described yourself.
Yes. No, yeah. I think
people in your field.
Yeah. I think, but I mean, if anybody, I mean, if you know me, you know me. And that's you cool. know that I'm critical of people in our field. So, and there's some really incredible therapists that are out there. And so I recently created a Facebook, a business Facebook page. And the intention behind it is that I feel like there's a lot of misinformation out there. I don't think that we will ever destigmatize mental health. I'm just not interested in like fighting that battle. So I just want to go a different route and try to really like normalize the experience of therapy. So a big piece of the Facebook page will be me making personal recommendations for therapists in St. Louis who I trust, because if you know me, you know I'm critical of people in our field. So if I trust them, I'm going to give them a shout out on nice. The page, because we need to know who's out there. And it's really hard to know who's out there. And most of the time, nobody knows where to go. So either you ask somebody close to you, mm-hmm. or if that's too embarrassing for you, you don't. You call your insurance provider and they give you a list of names and you have no idea who they are or right, if they're worth a damn. So my goal with this page is to really, first off, to support other people in business, mm-hmm. But really give people some options as to who's out there, who's really good, who's good in our field, and kind of give that information away. I wish I would have had it, you know?
It's pretty awesome. I mean, and you must be confident enough in your ability to be able to say, like, I'm great, but if I'm not a good fit, here's
yep.
three other people that rock
exactly.
that you might love.
Because the relationship is the most important part. Like, I love my job. Like, it's, I have the coolest job in the world. And it's, I love it that much that if I'm not for you, great, no hard feelings.
Right.
I'm not for everybody. I'm mm-hmm. incredibly direct. And my approach is probably not for everybody. And I know that, but that doesn't mean that I don't want you to find good help.
Sure.
So let's give it away.
That's awesome.
Well, and I think, I mean, in our, Jess, in our industry, like, those are the people that I think differentiate themselves from the pack. Like, if I'm working with someone, and that's the last thing I tell either a buyer or a seller, right. is like, hey, if at any time this just doesn't feel right,
right.
if you just, we're not jiving or yep. whatever, just let me know and I will refer you to somebody that I trust and
yeah.
that I know
that's
maybe
awesome.
Operates a little differently.
Sure.
But there are a million people out there that say, I'm the only person for
right.
you.
Right.
Use me.
You know my aunt's sister's best friend, so you must
right.
use
you
me.
You must use me, and even though I suck.
Yeah, and it's actually a really insecure approach
totally.
To business, if you think about it.
Well,
like,
sure.
if I'm the only one for everybody, get the hell out of here.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. We can't be the right person for everybody. Mm-hmm. We have our niche group
yeah.
of people, and it's okay to say that in business.
And it's nice when you finally are working with someone that you can be 100% yourself.
Right.
It's just like, it makes everything so much easier. You
right.
feel a deeper connection. You want it more for them.
Yes.
Whatever.
And we
just
can really
field, but.
Yeah.
cut through the bullshit.
Yeah.
Which you guys in particular for your field need to be able to do.
Yeah. It's really nice to be able to like be direct with your clients when you know each other well enough
yeah.
that it's like, hey, if you don't hear from me in 2 days, we're good.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Right.
Yep. Don't feel like something's on fire. I'll
right.
call you when something is.
When there's a reason to call you.
Yeah.
Right. No
yeah.
news
we're
is good
okay.
news. We're okay.
We're okay.
Yeah.
So it's nice when that, I think it all has to do with trust.
Yes.
And some people are really tough. Interesting,
mm-hmm.
but I think a lot of that has to do with their baggage.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, their insecurities, or they know that they have a lot of shortcomings, so they like have to hold everything so
yep.
close to their chest.
Yeah,
that,
right. But your clients are probably drawn to the two of you. because you show up authentically as yourselves. That's what draws your clientele, I bet.
100%. I mean, I've always said from the time I got in, like, I'm probably going to lose some business because I'm not suited up with the hair doing the thing and the pinky ring and, like, the least Escalade.
That's exactly
like,
what
I roll up in this 03 Silverado that has 300,000 miles on it and the cracked windshield, and I say
bumping
a lot of cuss words.
Right,
bumping bone or whatever. And like,
too short, let's be honest.
It is. It's usually too short. You're right. But I like some bone. But I mean, for real, like, I think I will win just as much business, if not more.
And referrals.
In referral, then I will lose because I'm not suited up.
You will. And your clients will be ride or die for you.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I have people that send me referrals. I was in class today and I was talking about referrals, and there's a couple from Festus that has sent like 3 or 4 deals my way.
Yep.
And I had a good relationship with them, but it wasn't like we were like tight. Like, it was a sign call that happened to turn into a piece of business. And then they're just like, they won't stop telling people about me. And I'm like,
yay.
What is happening?
You have to call them and be like, what did I do?
No, I'm not saying a word. I'm not even reaching out.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
don't look at
it.
Every time. Here's a gift card.
Here's a thank you note. Here's a thank you note. Here's a thank you note.
Yeah.
Just keep them rolling.
For sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I honestly think that it's because there's a level of authenticity to folks like us that allows barriers to be broken down immediately when you sit at a kitchen table. And you go up against a big shop or something like that, and they're like, no, I want to work with you. And you're like, but I haven't sold shit. Like, I mean, I have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean,
But in the beginning, especially, too, like, why are you here with me?
It's crazy.
I have no idea.
Right. And even now, like, in third year, you go up against a big shop and you win. It's like, what?
How did that happen?
They were cutting their commission. They said they were going to sell it for more, and I still got it.
They bought what they bought.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that I like about that is it's two-sided. I don't want to work with someone that's going to second-guess everything that I say.
Exactly.
Like, if you don't trust me, that's okay.
100%
you need
okay.
to work with someone you trust.
Well, exactly. And it also, so when you know that about yourself, it protects you from burnout in your field.
Totally.
Like, when you're... you know, hustling and grinding, because you guys work crazy ass hours. When you're hustling and grinding for clients that you don't genuinely like or enjoy, you're going to get burnt out really quick. And it's the same. We're all in the helping field in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a way to protect yourself from burnout.
It's a relationship service based industry,
absolutely.
Whether it's this or your field or
absolutely.
Whatever. I mean, we're building relationships and helping people.
Yep.
Yeah. So Adam asked you who's in your world, what besides therapy or normalizing therapy are you passionate about?
Music.
Okay.
Is it Bone Thugs?
A little bit. I'm stuck in the 90s. I can't help it.
Yeah, right?
And like non-work related, like first and foremost, music. It consumes my world.
So, like, earbuds or something in at all times?
Constant. I have a sub in the back of my car. An entire, upgraded sound system. I'm a freak. Yeah.
What's on your playlist right now?
Everything. It's really crazy. Like, you'll have Mel Carter from the 60s to Bone Thugs to... My first love is anything like soul or R&B. I grew up, my dad was in a band, really cool, the Vapors. But so I grew up listening to like nothing but like Motown.
Yeah.
So anything that's, R&B, soul, I think I'm a gangster and I love hip hop and I love rap. but just anything that like makes your face kind of curl up. When they sing, you know what I mean? Where you just kind of like, damn, like it's got to have like those characteristics, you know, where it makes your face real ugly.
Yeah.
Because you just feel it in your soul.
Yeah.
But anything from oldies to, I don't love present day rap. I'm pretty tough on that too. Yeah. I know.
There's not very many rappers that I like from today.
I know.
There's like 2 or 3 that I can't stop with.
Yeah. Like who?
Logic is
right on.
Everything. And if you don't listen to Logic,
okay.
as someone that is in the mental health field,
fix
you
that.
Will fall in love with Logic.
Great.
He is an unbelievable lyricist. He is a proponent of mental health. He talks a ton about anxiety, depression, mental health challenges.
I have a client who just told me about him, I think,
so
2 weeks ago.
He was on the Grammys 2 years ago, and he had a song that, like, his coming out party was
yeah.
he had a song called 1-800, whatever the suicide hotline is.
Okay.
I don't know the exact
yeah.
digits, but that was the name of the song, the suicide hotline.
Wow.
And it's all about mental health. And it exploded. Like, he had a bunch of survivors of mental, like, people who had survived suicide attempts and family of members who had survived suicide attempts.
Wow.
And all kinds of amazing stuff on stage. And it was,
you have
like,
to send me that.
Huge. I will.
Yeah.
Amazing. Logic for me has...
Well, and the music itself is just great.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that because I don't listen to the words.
Yeah.
Just,
he is,
I'm like,
unbelievable.
Oh, this guy can
he
rap.
Has like multiple personalities. Like,
yeah.
So he has Logic himself
sure.
and he has an albums and then he has kind of a trap music
yeah.
pseudonym that's called Bobby Tarantino. And then he has kind
that's
of.
That's awesome.
Which is
so
crazy.
It's like Garth Brooks and Chris
Gaines. Without the soul patch. Without the soul patch and the comb
that's
over
amazing.
It. Yes. And then
is
he has a guy
anyone
named,
out there that's going to get
yeah,
that?
I get it. And then he has Young Sinatra, which is another version of him.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. And then I was
very
a
cool.
huge Mac Miller fan before he passed.
Yeah, right on.
But there's not very many people nowadays that I'm like, I can just listen to the whole
yeah.
thing. But...
Those I need
two.
411 harmonizing in the background. Do you remember that?
I do. Unfortunately, I do.
Want to hear something that'll probably make both of your heads explode?
Tell me right now.
So we're at the gym tonight. Sarah and I usually try and go at the same time, and our trainer was like, "Oh, I gotta figure out the playlist for tonight," and it was like, "Oh, I'm gonna fucking kill your mother," and I was like. Sarah's like, no, this
no,
has
yeah.
to change. Whatever it is, it has to change. So he changed it. Songs are going. He's skipping all these great songs. And then Tupac comes on, and I'm like, yes.
Let's do it.
He turns it off for Will Smith getting jiggy with it. And I was like, I'm going to leave and ask for my money back.
Right.
I kind of don't hate the idea of getting jiggy with
it. I don't hate the idea of it either. But when you're like
but you don't interrupt
Tupac, when you're lifting like to squat.
No, I feel you.
But
no,
Big Willie style, great album.
I know. It really
really
it
good
was
album.
Okay. It was okay.
Okay.
I'm saying like it's good.
You mean tonight or the album? Cuz if just the two of us doesn't bring a tear to your eye.
It was a good sex.
We have issues.
Or Miami doesn't like put
oh,
a little pep
right.
in your
right.
stuff.
Wild Wild West?
Right. It's all. See? Now we're talking
Men
what
in
a
black?
Right. What a great album. Good Lord.
Anyways, a little side.
Okay.
Derailed us a little
so,
bit.
So, when you obviously, you deal with a lot of, I'm sure you deal with a lot of challenges because as someone that is invested in your client base,
mm-hmm.
you're invested in their health.
Yes.
Like, what types of things trip you up? Like, is it bringing work home?
Boundaries?
Yeah, is it boundaries with your clients?
Is
but
them
like,
falling in love with you?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't? You know,
I asked the question.
Can you blame them? I mean...
I've never dealt with that.
Yeah, my clients have never.
Usually, as soon as the transaction's done, they're like, deuces.
Peace.
See you later. Yeah.
Get out of our house.
So, what types of things would you say trip you up?
I think so. I don't struggle with taking people home with me. It's not an issue for me. I don't think that I struggle with boundaries. Probably one of the things that I struggle with is. Like saying no to work.
Yeah.
And I was having this conversation with somebody a while back and they were like, yeah, so you have a hard time saying no. No, not at all. I don't have any trouble saying no. I have trouble saying no to work because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so damn much. it's the coolest experience in the world. Like watching people like change their own lives.
You got it.
Thank
you.
You
got it.
And it's, I love doing speaking gigs. I love teaching. And so it, I don't know, it lights me on fire. So it's mm-hmm. not that I have a hard time saying no. It's that I have a hard time, like, turning down the work that I love so much.
Sure.
So I would say that definitely trips me up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it because... You like for me,
mm-hmm.
if I don't have a time on my calendar, generally that just fills up with work.
Sure.
So I have to physically think, like, okay, what are we going to do with the family on Saturday? What are we going to do on Sunday? Or is it just, I only have time for dinner tonight? Yeah. So is it because you guys don't have, like, certain things planned out? Mm-hmm. Or you're like, well, I don't have anything going on right now, so I might as well work because I love to work.
Yeah, typically.
Okay.
Because I really love working. Yeah. And so, and I need to do better. Like, I don't have any problem saying no, but I should say no.
Yeah.
More.
Right.
I should. And again, it's not because I don't know how, it's because I don't want to. And that's a part of me for me to work on, because I need more downtime than I afford myself. And I think a lot of the times I do a pretty good job, but I don't realize I need the break until I hit the wall going 60.
Yeah. Is that because it's too much filled with work time, or it's too much filled with other people's problems?
It's typically when my life goes off the rails.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I do my own work. I have my own therapist. But it has a lot to do with, like, when life just starts really chipping away at you. My field has a really bizarre thing that goes on in it that, like, if on Monday I have one person text me to cancel, it'll be a domino effect.
Sure.
It's like something goes out into the world. Okay.
Yep.
And so the same thing kind of happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the same thing kind of happens in kind of a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Like when shit pops off, it really starts. I don't know if like what's happening in the stars. I don't know.
It happens
like,
constantly.
Yeah.
It happens to me.
Yes. And so
on both sides of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think it also happens to fall at the same time when things are kind of falling apart for me personally.
Sure.
Like the stars just must be aligned. You know what
happening?
I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's when it gets to be too much. But at the same time, I will tell you that, like, I have the kind of relationship with my clients that I can, like, you know, give them a heads up and say, look, I got to take some time off. I need a little bit of space. I'm not going to be here for the next week or week and a half. And they're like, yeah, do what you need to do. So
sure.
It's just
That's
me
cool.
speaking for that part of me that needs the break.
And it wouldn't be as accepted if you weren't as cool with your clients.
Right. Because then I would be worried constantly about them. But like,
they would just leave you to go to somebody else.
Right. But if you set up a relationship like that with them where they care about you, just like you care about them, we're all good.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I like that.
Okay.
What don't you like? Challenge me.
I like it all.
What have you had to turn down to do what you do, either now or in the past?
I have had to turn down the security of having a paycheck, having health insurance, having a steady income that I can fall back on, no questions asked.
Was it, like, easy financially when you took the jump to do everything on your own? Were you just, like, filling up with clients, checks were rolling in, you were good? Or was it a struggle?
So, it was a struggle mentally. So, it's weird. So, I have all these different parts of me. And, like, I was terrified to leave. There was a part of me that was terrified. But there was also a part of me that was, like, there ain't no turning back. Like, there was absolutely no talking me out of this. The decision was made. My anger overrode my fear, and there was no looking back. So there was a part of me that was terrified, and there was a part of me that was like, you don't have a choice. You don't get to fail, so here we go.
Mm-hmm.
The financial piece was terrifying. I was doing okay, but I had to come from a place of, like, I feel like, and you guys will get this, like, if you're constantly worrying about where your next client is going to come from, they are not coming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, the universe will take care of that for you.
Yeah.
Just do the stuff.
It's an abundance mindset as opposed to a scarcity mindset.
Right.
We talk about it constantly.
Yeah. At your job.
Constantly.
Yeah. And so it was a constant conversation of myself that, like, we're going to be okay. And any time that fear would come up, like having to work with that part and asking it to step back so I could allow for, you know, more people to come in. And so, so it was really, really challenging. But the reality is that I did okay.
Yeah.
And it worked out. Now, you know, it could all fall apart. You know, who knows? It's a referral-based business. Up until last year, I never did any marketing whatsoever. I had a business card, and that was it for 10 years. So it was all word of mouth up until last year. So, yeah, I mean, it was, the sacrifice has been the security of having that income, having the health insurance. That was probably my biggest concern, and it still is. Realistically, my biggest concern.
Sure.
But I don't know. It just worked.
From a tactical perspective.
Yeah.
So in our industry, it's certainly not frowned upon to ask for a referral,
mm-hmm.
right? In fact,
yeah.
It's a huge piece of our lead
Absolutely.
Generation funnel.
Yeah.
In your industry, is it like... I don't know if it's different. Like, I feel like if I'm sitting there crying about a challenge that I had mm-hmm. in my past with my therapist, is it okay for them to be like, do you know anyone else that wants to come cry on my couch? Like, how does that work? Like,
yeah.
how does your lead gen work? How do you like milk the referral cow, so to
yeah,
speak?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think, I mean, realistically, let's say I was hurting for clients. I would call some of my friends who are in the field and say, just like, hey, I'm running low lately. If you have anybody, would you just keep me in mind? When it comes to the clients that I work with, I don't so much go for them. They take care of themselves, meaning like they naturally... send me people.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do a lot, because I love doing it and because it's a great referral source, is doing speaking gigs.
Sure.
So if I, like thinking in the future, let's say I'm running low on clients
mm-hmm.
and I don't have any speaking gigs on the books, I would offer my services to, say, like a school. And I would say, hey, can I come in speak to your, like, a parent night or something like that. Boom. You're going to have referrals from that. Yeah.
Four
and that's
probably.
Exactly. And so that's a good tip for anybody like in this field who may hear this. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
those speaking gigs. I mean, I love, it's like my favorite part of my job. You know,
sure.
It's just exciting because we've all sat through like really terrible professional development that's, I find, incredibly insulting. And just a waste of everybody's time. And I, like, my goal is to never be that.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to actually set the bar for every other professional development that you get in your career. But in terms of, like, building that referral base, it's a really great business move to
sure.
offer your services, to do even just doing
yeah.
free speaking gigs.
Come from contribution.
Right. Because if you're good, people are going to feel it. And they'll want to talk to you after, or you come and you bring your business cards or something along those lines, and you'll get some referrals.
You should okay. come talk at our office.
Yeah, I was sure just thinking that.
There's 300 agents that get down on themselves every once in a while, or every
pretty much every 90 days.
Day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
After the pay cycle is passed.
What do you? Are you a reader? Do you read for fun?
No.
Do you listen, like, other than this podcast?
Naturally.
Do you listen? Do you listen to other podcasts or audiobooks, or what do you consume?
Music.
Okay.
Really? I mean, if I'm being honest, it's music. And if I read, which is rare, I'm not a great reader. Like, it's not. I'm not strong at it. I had a lot of like comprehension problems growing up. So reading is not. I'm not a strong reader.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me, it's just, I don't know, I suck. So I have two full bookshelves in my office full of books and I've read like five. But I also tell people that, like, when they first come in and they're like, oh my God, look at all this. I'm like, I haven't read any of them. It just looks cool. It just looks smart, yeah. You know? So I'll call myself out on it. But so I read a little bit. There are a few podcasts that I listen to. I've started doing that, but like, it's got to be good. If it's going to replace the music for me, because music is also incredibly therapeutic for me.
Sure.
So like, my car is never quiet. The only time it is silent, it means I have taken a client home with me. It's the only time it's quiet. And then it's also like a cue for me. Wait, you've taken somebody with you. That you didn't leave that at work. And so that's a signal for me to check in with myself, do a little processing in my head and, mm-hmm. and let it go. So if the podcast has to be really good for me to take away from the music.
What are they?
I was going to say, are they typically like development podcasts or are they like story?
No, it's type? Typically like some professional development stuff. Like people in my field, there's a podcast called The One Inside. It's done by, so I practice from a number of models, but there's one in particular. It's called Internal Family Systems, or IFS. And there's this really wonderful podcast by this gal named Tammy, and it's called The One Inside. So I really enjoy that one. And gosh, what are some other ones that I'm kind of blanking on some of the other ones, but they're typically like professional ones that I'll listen to because I'm so isolated.
Yeah.
So, I don't like being stagnant. And so I feel like I need to like keep myself on my toes and keep learning. So typically if I listen to a podcast, it's going to be within my field.
Okay.
What this about, feels so self-absorbed right now. I have to, like, a it part sounds, of me feels really...
It sounds pretty self.
I feel like the worst. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so... This is an odd experience for me.
Right.
Like,
I understand.
Having the questions
It's exactly
asked.
What it's supposed to be.
I had a large disdain for it when Adam was interviewing me. I was like, I'm not even doing this
like, aren't
anymore.
Aren't you so sick of me yet?
Right.
No, that's great. What about a quick shift? Like, top three movies of all time.
Got it. Coming to America.
Yes. That's amazing.
Coming to America, number one, for sure. Aha. Did you get that reference? I taste the soup. Taste the soup. I love You've Got Mail.
Okay. I've never seen You've Got Mail.
Stop right there.
It's
fix
never,
your life.
It's not been
fix your life, man.
Can we book an appointment?
You need to, like, fix this. Yeah. You've Got Mail, and then Ever After. You're gonna roll your eyes at this.
Is
so
that
really?
Drew Barrymore?
It is.
Okay,
it's a like empowered woman Cinderella story. That's
which is weird that I think I've seen that.
You have.
You've Got Mail.
Yes, I love Ever After because I think it is just a really yummy way to do the Cinderella story. So
okay.
I was really hopeful that we would hit a Toy Soldier reference, but
sorry.
You're just always
my bad.
Always on that.
Just hoping.
What what keeps you up at night?
You can say you sleep like a baby. It's okay.
I don't. No. So I sleep like a baby once I'm asleep. I have a really hard time falling asleep. What keeps me up at night is my desire to be alone.
Okay. Tell.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Yeah, okay, so
While you sleep?
No, so I require a substantial amount of alone time to be like a functional human. When you're taking on and sitting with people and like hearing the things that I hear, but I needed this long before I was a therapist. You know what I mean? Like this is a huge part of me. So like professionally, I would say I'm an extrovert. You can give me a microphone and I can stand in front of hundreds of people and it doesn't faze me for a second. I would sooner die than have casual conversation in the aisle at Target. And so like professionally, I'm an extrovert. Personally, I am an introvert. So the way like I recharge is to isolate and to be alone. And it can get pretty extreme. You know what I mean? Like I I love being alone. And so when you give and you give and then you come home and you're a mom and you're giving and you have to be a wife and you're giving, what keeps me up at night is like that constant desire to like recharge and reconnect with myself. And I do that through being alone. So like, there's a part of me that will like resist sleeping to get like another hour of just quiet and alone, because that's how I recharge my batteries, is by being alone. Like my mother is like the most extroverted person you'll ever meet in your life. Like the more people, the better. She loves talking with people, and like that's what feeds her. And it make, you know, and she's a total extrovert. And for me, like I just want to isolate, because it feels really good, and that's how I recharge. So that is what keeps me up at night. But also what keeps me up at night is feeling like I'm a really shitty mom because I'm not home a lot during the nights. I mean, sure. In the grand scheme of things, like that's a piece of it. Like trying to figure out ways that I can spend more time with Leo or make the time that we're together actually valuable.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the book Quiet?
No.
A guest of ours, Kate Chill, a couple episodes ago, that was one of her like books she was reading at the moment. And it's like being an introvert in an extroverted world, sort of. And it like gives all these examples of like, you would think most successful CEOs are extroverts, but they're actually introverts. So
right.
I don't know, it might be something worth checking out to see like maybe if there's a connection there. Or
you could put it on your shelf.
Tips.
I could, and it could sit there and collect dust. Although I will tell you, I did figure out, so that same professor that I was talking about earlier, he had recommended a book to me. It's called Educated. And so I've been listening. I've been doing like audiobooks. Yeah. And that's been really helpful because I don't have the time to like sit down and read. Like when you're like, I don't have time.
Changer.
I'm like washing clothes and doing stuff. But like when I'm doing that, I can listen to the story. So maybe I can see if there's that they have that like in an audiobook.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I love Audible. We, as a team, we read a book a month.
Wow.
And I would never get through it
because
I'm a slower reader. And
same
as you. Like, okay, I finally have time to sit down. It's 10 o'clock at night.
I just want to watch Housewives. Right. Yeah. Like, I just want to be a piece of shit in my bed and, like, zone out.
Be a normal person. So I started doing Audible, and I can get through the books now. I'm like,
on the way to work, on the way home from work.
Right.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
I would check those out.
When you do your speaking engagements, are they typically around this area? Do you travel for those?
So I've done some travel for them. So they're typically, they have some sort of mental health component to it because that's my background. So I do anything from professional development for like educators. So Fampan University puts on a trauma symposium every year. And so each year I go and I put on professional development. It's put on, like, it's offered to like all the local school districts and stuff. So I do their trauma symposium every year. I go into schools, train faculty and staff, do PD for them on anything from so there's a huge initiative right now surrounding education and schools becoming trauma informed, because so many of our students are coming in having had experienced trauma. And so a lot of the behaviors that you're seeing, a lot of the behavior disorders, like discipline referrals are not, I mean, kids don't want to be bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so teaching them how to be trauma informed when doing discipline, or how to manage those behaviors with inside the classroom. So I do a lot of that. I've done a few speaking gigs with like organizations, like successful women in business and what that looks like in leadership and things like that. But a huge piece of it comes into like the mental health, like how do you show up as authentically as yourself to promote your business and retain business. And then I've even done like a sorority group. Mizzou hired me to do, I wasn't in sororities, so they do like a sisterhood retreats, and I've done stuff like that. And so it kind of runs the gamut of people that I do speaking gigs for, but the undertone is always, you know, has some sort of like mental health piece to it. Hmm. Yeah, it's like my favorite thing to do.
It's 100% my favorite.
Is it? What do you love about it?
I don't know. I think there's an aspect of like just raw honesty that you can have with a group of people, because I've done tons of speaking engagements over the last 15 years, and the majority of them are tech related because I came from the tech field, but some of them have been not tech related. You know, when I was younger, I would speak to high schools or St. Louis University medical students about grief and things like that. I'm always terrified, like getting ready to go. Like I just did a tech series speak at St. Louis Association of Realtors last month. And I knew what I was going to say. I knew the content. I probably knew it better than anybody that was going to be in the crowd.
Sure.
And I was scared. I
what
was
were
terrified.
You scared of?
I don't know. It's just like a rush. It's like it's something that comes in your gut that makes you feel like you might pass out in the first 30 seconds.
Right. And then does it fade away?
Once you get past the first 30 seconds or even the first few words come out, you're good.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like you can have individual conversations with people that are watching. And not have a conversation. Like you can see who's connecting and who's not.
Totally.
And it's very much like a dance. And I really, really enjoy doing it. And so,
and you show up authentically yourself, so you can talk about tech and still win over your audience.
Well,
and
you don't
have
an option.
Time.
I think that people that are maybe people that are really, 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 really good at speaking engagements can script it out and kind of disengage from who they are.
Sure.
But I don't think that happens very often. I think once you're standing in front of people, whether it's 10 people or 1,000 people, you're there and there's nowhere to hide. You can't set the microphone down. You can't go to the bathroom. You just can't hide.
Yeah.
You're there. And it's a very energizing feeling. So, it's definitely one of my favorite things to do.
Right on.
When you're traveling, what's one of your biggest pet peeves?
Like just traveling in general?
So we always preface the question with like, when you're traveling, what drives you crazy? Whether it's people on an airplane doing certain things or people...
Yeah.
Like
I don't want to ever hear someone clap for the pilot when they land.
Stop. Oh, God. Okay, so you have to realize my dad was a captain for American Airlines for 30 plus years. I'm a pilot's daughter. I have a lot of travel pet peeves.
Right. We didn't know this was going to be a long answer.
I'm in.
I agree with you. Like, I cannot stand Southwest Airlines. Like, the informality of their flight attendants makes me so uncomfortable.
I love it.
I don't want a comedian.
Sing the song about the seatbelt. Dance while you're blowing into the tube. I love it.
I don't care about any of that because I don't listen to it. But I like everything else about it.
You're so funny. I don't like clapping for it. That's hilarious.
So annoying.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Adam gets mad at me because I stand up as soon as they land.
As soon as they land, she's
standing. It's my biggest pet peeve.
I hate it. I'm like, where are you going to go? Sit down.
Yes.
You're in 49
it's so
C.
Funny.
I'm on the
sit
aisle,
down.
And there's two people at the window, and
I don't
want to
hear it. We're not justifying. Why? You just sat for 4 hours. Just sit for another
They're
4 minutes.
They're going to look at me and be mad at me.
Here's why she stands.
Tell me everything.
She wants to stand because she knows that people are going to stand behind her, and she doesn't want to let people stand that are in 50 C.
Yeah.
No, they're not getting past
me. Right. That's exactly why you
stand.
So
it's like a dominance.
It is. She's making sure that...
Yeah. It's order. It's order.
Yes.
I feel you. Go on.
I was in 46 and they're in 50. If you think you're getting past me and
you're
not hitting a connecting flight, bye-bye.
I see you. I see this. I've never heard this angle, and I respect it. I'm not going to lie.
You do. I don't know why you do.
So we just traveled together not too long ago, and we were talking about, like, we were going to Cabo, and we were talking about, like, who on the plane is the early stander?
Who's the early stander?
Who's the clapper?
Yes. Not
and
the
she's
clapper.
Like, I'm the early stander. Like, she called
but
herself
But I own
out.
All of my crap.
I understand. I'm just saying. I am entertained by the fact that you justify your early standingness.
Yeah. I got respect for that. Okay.
It's dumb.
Makes me feel a little bit awkward.
Because that's your least favorite part.
It's like my biggest pet peeve.
Mine too.
So it's the standers. Like, where do you think you're going, boo-boo?
There's 130 people in front of you.
Right. Like, Everything's fine. We're going to get off the plane, okay?
Everybody's
and there's no rush in this ship because Grandma at 12C, who couldn't even get her bag.
She pooped her pants.
She did, and it's going to take a while. And then the awkward person who can't get their luggage down, and it's exhausting. So, like, you might as well sit down and finish your podcast or your movie.
I'll be last.
Like, I don't even take... I know. I would rather be last. So, my other pet peeve is... when the ticket agent is at the gate and it says, we are now boarding flight 1222 to, Miami International Airport. And everybody grabs their shit and they're ready to, like, race to get on the plane. Oh. What are you racing to? To sit on the plane while everybody boards? Yeah.
I stand early to get off, but I don't give a shit when I get on.
Yeah, I wait.
Gets mad that I don't check in the day before. I'm like, for what? It's a cattle call.
Yeah,
it is. Why would I check in the day before to get a number at 46C? That doesn't make sense.
I'm with you. Yeah. I don't. So when I'm in boarding group four, I wait until I'm about the last person on the plane. Why would I want to go and sit next? Yeah. It's a pet peeve. So I wait until the end to board the flight because why do I want to sit any longer?
Well, and maybe that's why I stand early is because I don't care where I sit.
Okay.
And I probably got the worst seat on the plane.
Yeah, that works.
But it's you're going to block 6'4" Bob from
don't
trying
you even think you're getting up here.
You bet your butt I will.
I love it.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, so if you do a road trip.
Yeah.
What kind of snacks would you get for a road trip?
Great. I probably need some chili cheese Fritos.
Do you know that they don't have those everywhere else besides Sam's?
Who?
I lived in New Jersey.
I feel offended.
And New York for a while, and I would be like in the chip aisle for like an obscene amount of time looking for them. And people from up there was like, I don't even know what that is.
Right. Like, we have scoops. You looking for some scoops?
No.
I'm not looking for scoops.
Of course
I'm not. Yeah. That's amazing.
Anyways, I like that choice.
Yeah, I really appreciate those. If I'm on a road trip, I would really like a cooler with some sort of like meats and cheeses. I want some prosciutto in there. I want some
really that's fancy.
I know. But you can get it at Aldi's, like let's be real.
You can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I want some of that. I want some cheeses in there and then like, I live for chips and dips. I don't really need a meal. So, I mean, if it's a long one, that's the route I'm going. Okay. For sure. And I need a fountain Diet Coke and a styrofoam cup with the good ice.
Like crushed, like small ice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like Sonic ice. Yeah.
Lion's Choice ice.
Yeah, Lion's Choice. My bad.
A sponsor of the show.
I feel you.
They suck. They can bite me. They haven't commented.
Hold on.
In a very long time.
Well, to be fair... they only commented once.
And I've commented
Lion's Choice
on their
commented
stuff.
On
they
you?
Were they we were in negotiations for a sponsorship
started,
with Lion's Choice.
He's making that up.
For weeks.
They started following us. They commented on one of our photos. We commented back. This is great. This is going
to
be an awesome relationship. We
and
record
you.
On Mondays or Tuesdays in South County. Bring us some stuff, and we'll
nothing has
blast
happened.
It out.
I've
nothing.
Had too many kings with cheese.
I comment on all of their crap.
Stop.
I'm going to go to Arby's.
This is an abusive relationship. It's time to cheat.
We've been talking about moving to Arby's for quite some time.
Yeah.
It just hasn't
I'll
come to fruition.
I'll do a cherry
yet.
Turnover any day of the week.
Okay.
It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's one person that you know that we should know?
One person that you should know for like this podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, who's somebody that you think you have a ton of respect for because they're authentic and own their story and are comfortable with their story?
And they're maybe mildly entertaining or more than that.
And don't mind drinking boxed wine in my backyard.
Yeah, okay.
It's a lot of criteria.
Yeah.
Check, check, check. You have stumped me. Only because I have like a few people and like I want to like I immediately think of my best friend Beth Bradford.
Okay.
And here's why. And she's going to die that I said this. But like
does she listen to the show?
She should.
She will.
I'll fix that.
listener 53.
She's she's a mathematician.
Yes.
Okay. And she's brilliant. And like, the girl is in love with math.
Dumb.
And can talk about math and gets excited about math. Like, I get excited about prosciutto and cheese. Mm. So she's an initial first
thought.
It's
like the relationship I have with my mom.
A little bit. Right.
We don't understand each other at all.
Cheers.
But we love each other.
Yeah. I think I would definitely, I would say Beth. I would say Karen Richardson.
Why Karen? Because I know Karen and I know
get her
rotten
ass on here.
Isn't she a big fan?
She's a fan, and she's a nurse. Oh. And she's hysterical, and she's real.
Like she is very real. I will. Yeah. They all those Richardsons.
I know, because they're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those chicks are the ones that like float up for me for some reason.
Okay.
Like they're just authentically themselves about, you know, Beth about math. Like who gets excited about math? This chick gets excited about math.
Hmm.
It's interesting.
I enjoy math. I wouldn't say I've ever been excited about
math. So she tells her students, so they will ask her. So she teaches math in high school.
Okay.
And her kids will ask her, what is your dream job? And she stands at her board and looks at them and says, you guys, I am living my dream job. I get to do math problems all day long. This is my dream job.
Those high
That's
schoolers
insane.
Are
Isn't
really
it?
Supportive of that
it's
response.
It's off
sure.
the rails. It's crazy. It's but she's a really fantastic teacher who has an incredible approach to education, not just math. She's pretty cool, and she understands adolescent boys and how to work with them.
Hmm.
Okay.
And Karen's just freaking real. You know her.
Yeah, Karen's great.
She can talk about anything, and she's fantastic.
I would
nurse.
Be nervous to have Karen on the show.
I don't
show.
Blame you. Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
She kind of scares me.
Yeah,
and
she
always
should.
Has, even
she
though
should.
She's been nothing but just full of love. But mm-hmm. she's mm-hmm. she's very, her and Kristen are very different.
Yeah. They're incredible. They're polar opposites.
Yeah, they're complete
but
opposites.
They're both just absolutely lovely. The third person I would tell you is that you need to be familiar with Julie Smith.
Oh,
she
yes.
is a powerhouse. She was our teacher, who's now my friend, which is really kind of a surreal experience. Mm-hmm. She okay. is an expert in media literacy. It's like her life.
Mm-hmm.
She does keynote. She's a keynote speaker all over the world. It's wild. And she's brilliant. And it's so fun to watch her and listen to her speak because, like, parent groups and stuff will have her come and speak. And they think that she's going to come there and, like, give them all of this advice of, like, stay away from this app and stay away from this app. Mm. And she does, like, the complete opposite. And it's amazing. But
like
she,
how
I mean,
to engage with your kids by using
yeah it. And like quit just bitching about apps and actually understand the world that your kids are living in and what you really should be afraid of, that like Snapchat is not the end of the world
right.
and that there's other things that are out there. And like she's a professor at Webster University and you should are you guys on Twitter?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am.
Follow her on Twitter. She sure. is a powerhouse.
Okay.
And she is fun. And if you bring her on, I get to come.
Okay.
Well, you'll have to tell her to come on.
Yeah, you'll have to convince her.
I'm sure
I will. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those three women are like on my my top three that came up to mind.
Okay.
That's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I appreciate your willingness to be on the other side of the...
The couch, yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's what I was going to say.
You guys, thanks for having me.
Do you even
me.
Have a couch?
I do, and it is emerald green, and it is velvet, and it is hot.
Fantastic.
Do people use it? They sit on it?
That's
they
exactly
it?
Where they sit, yeah.
Do they lay?
No, some do. The teenagers do, so there's a rule. The rules I have are you got to give me 24 hours notice if you need to cancel or you get a bill. The number one rule is no shoes on my couch.
Okay.
So I can't have any more children. I have my son, Leo, and he tried to kill me a few times when I had him. Okay. So we're not doing that again. So I can't have any more kids. So instead of having more children, I bought my dream couch. So I have a velvet emerald green couch that is to die for, and it's like my second child. So the only rule in my office really is no shoes on the couch. So some people do. You can take your shoes off, rub your dirty dogs on my couch. I don't really care. Just no shoes on the couch.
Okay.
So the teenagers sometimes, they like to like grab a blanket and like get cozy.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thanks.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Oh, are you still there?
They're still here.
That's crazy. Well, if you can't get enough of us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Welcome to Our World.
And thanks for listening. And if you listen on Spotify or iTunes, it'd be pretty cool if you gave us a rating.
And tell your friends.
All right.
Thanks.